marvelous kindness in a strong city. Amen. Many of us can reflect on that. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. If you would today turn to, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, and we'll get there in just a little bit, but I want you to go ahead and start turning Romans chapter 8. What David is saying here in the psalm, he's encouraging others to praise God with him. And it's easy to do that when we're in church and we have powerful songs, whether they're fast or slow. It's easy to thank God and give him praise. But I want to encourage you guys, just as David encouraged others, to praise him continually throughout the year as we go on. David says in there also, he says, the Lord will strengthen your heart. But he says it, if you hope in the Lord. And our message today is, what are you hoping for? As we celebrate Advent and hope, the coming hope that we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm going to read something in Jeremiah that many of you are familiar with, and I don't want you to turn there. I'm just going to read it. But Romans 8 is where we'll go for our main text today. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14. Again, it's very familiar. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go to pray. Go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to a place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. And a lot of times we focus on that verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And people say, I want to lasso that, and I want to pull it in, and I want to claim that. And that's great. Let's claim it. But we have to read the entire thing. And in Christianity today, a lot of problems is we hear these or we read these. I want the hope. I want the promise you've given me. You're going to give me riches. I want that promise. You're going to promise me this. If I give, you'll give back. Let's see. I thought I had money in there. All I find is an empty gum wrapper. If I give five, he'll give me back 10 or 20 or whatever. He says he will. And so we give for the promise, but not for the obedience. But in here, I want you guys to focus on this. It says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He has given us hope. He has given us hope. But when you read on, it says, then you will call upon me and go to pray to me. So he's given us direction to go to him and to pray to him. And I will listen to you, he says. So when we go pray to him, he will listen to us. And you will seek me. Again, direction. We have to go seek God the Father. And the next thing he says, and find me. When you search for me, I will bring you back from your captivity, says the Lord. So when we search for him, he's going to bring us out of captivity. But if you read on, it says, I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to a place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. If you read that closely and listen to it, he's saying he's going to bring you out of captivity. But he sent you to that captivity. So sometimes when you think, God, why am I here? When will you pull me out of here? Why has the devil put me there? God may be the one that directed you to a place to grow you through that and grow you out of that place. And when you call on him, he will hear you. When you pray to him, he will hear you. And he will bring you out of captivity, a place where he sent you. I love the movie Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty. And in Evan Almighty, he's starting to build the ark and he grows the big beard. And his wife thinks he's going cuckoo, so she leaves him. She leaves him and goes to a restaurant, and there's God, Morgan Freeman. And he's standing there waiting on. I said, well, what's the problem? She said, well, my husband is this and that. And he says, let me ask you this. If you wanted patience, you think God's just going to hand you a basket of patience? Or will God put you in situations to grow your patience and to allow you to learn how to become patient? And I think a lot of times that's what we do when we want God to take us out of our captivity. Well, God is our hope. That's for sure. But sometimes He's going to hand us a basket of our answers. He's going to put us in situations and drive us places that He's going to bring us out of. And we have to be aware of that, that sometimes the things we go through and the places that we are because God put us there. But He will bring us out of that. He'll bring us out of those things. As we go over to Romans chapter 8, I wanted to go through the whole chapter because it's a great chapter, but I thought, well, I'll skip this a little bit. But we want to remember in Isaiah, the promises that God gives us requires obedience on our part to do our part to respond to Him. And I'm sorry, I skipped one more place. Matthew chapter 1. I'll just read that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 25. It says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus, the beginning of our hope. But the beginning started in the Old Testament when the prophets foretold of that, the coming hope. His name was to be called Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. That is the beginning of our hope right there. In Romans chapter 8, we're going to verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And when we read about our coming hope and when we understand our coming hope, there's something in us when we first know Christ, when we first have a glimpse of the true hope that is Jesus Christ. The first thing is we have a knowledge or a sense that we want to please God. We want to make God happy. Or we've done something that we know is not right by the things put inside us. That usually leads us to at least acknowledge our sin or our wrongdoing. And as a result, and hopefully a knowledge of this, that we have a desire to repent of our sins. This leads to God showing us grace and mercy. And the more He shows His grace and mercy on us, the more we want to please Him. And I guess if you're in the working world and you think the more we make our bosses happy, hopefully they pay us a little more, and then we work hard, it makes us want to work harder. It's kind of that drive and determination. Now, God is still going to bless us even when our work is not so great. But hopefully it leads us to a repentant heart. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I believe our hope, again, is in Jesus Christ. And these things I just mentioned are because we allow the love of God to penetrate our heart. And as you see, when we get to the end of our scripture, Jesus Christ and the love of God are one and the same, and they become our hope for our future. As Kisha mentioned with the singing of that song, the guy was at the bottom of the barrel, in his mind at least. Now, there's a lot of different barrels. There's a barrel we each live in, the barrel that we see our neighbors living in, and the barrel that people are living in when they live under the streets. Out in front of my work, we have a big, I don't know what you call it, drainage ditch that runs under the road, and it runs a couple miles down MacArthur, South MacArthur, towards the airport. I didn't realize till a couple weeks ago that that basically was a hotel for homeless people under there. I saw a man walking off our property, and all of a sudden he disappeared in a ditch, and I thought, where did he go? And so I went and looked down there, and there stood several homeless people under that ditch right at the stoplight going into our work. And I'm thinking, his barrel probably looks a little bit different than our barrel does when we think we're at the bottom of our barrel. I asked another young man one time when I chased him off the property several times, per company policy. And one day I said, hey, let me ask you something. He said, I'm leaving. I said, look, man, is there anything I can do to help you? I mean, what can I do to help you out? Of course, he said, give me money for a bus ticket to wherever he was going. I said, well, I don't have that. So I got his story, just a brief glimpse of his barrel. And I thought, well, what I can do is feed him. And I turned him into our prayer group to say, just pray for this young man. And Jan asked me one day, how's your buddy Eddie doing? I said, well, I've seen Eddie a few times. He told me where he hangs out, which is about a mile from my store. And I go by sometimes late at night when I get off work, sometimes during the middle of the day when I'm going to lunch or running errands. And if I see him, I stop and ask if I can feed him, if I can go take him to get something to eat. And he's always rejected the food, but I thought, the offer is there. I can't necessarily hand him money. I usually don't have money. I've got a credit card almost all the time and no money. But I can offer him a meal. But he's always declined that. So our barrel is different. Romans chapter 8 is going to talk to us about our barrel and what's at the bottom of our barrel when we get down there and we think we're at the bottom. And there at the bottom is Jesus Christ waiting for us to call on Him. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How amazing is that? The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We think we're suffering now, but we have such great glory awaiting us in heaven in our home with Jesus Christ. And I thought, I was driving home last night and I heard a guy on the radio talking about our hope and missing our loved ones. And they said, it's kind of hard, but when we know that they've gone to a better caretaker and someone that loves them more than we could possibly love him, the love that we sang about today in our song, how he loves us, we can have a little bit of happiness in us knowing that there was someone that loves him so much or her so much, because that's the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 23 says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And when I read that, Miss Donna and King's Kids has been talking about a couple months ago, was going over the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians and had the kids memorize the fruits of the Spirit. And I looked at that and thought, oh, the fruits of the Spirit are. And I had to reread that. And it says, it's talking about not the first fruits, but the first fruits, one word. And it's talking about the knowledge that we have of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ. That is just a taste of the crop or the harvest that's out there. And because we're Christians and know Jesus Christ, we have a taste of that first fruit, a taste of the harvest that is to come. And we can be excited in that. Verse 24 and 25 are some key verses in here. Also it says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Christmas is coming. I want a new bike. My parents take me with them. They say, okay, Adam, we're going to buy you a new bike. Here's your new bike, Adam. Great. I can't hope for a new bike for Christmas. I already have seen it. I was with them when they bought it. And that's what they're saying here, that our faith builds us. We can't hope for something that we've already seen. And when we look at the unseen God, our hope is in Him. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. When we are weak, He is strong for us. And so many times we think we are weak and I'm all alone and I'm crushed. And we have to remember in our weakness, He is our strength. He will lift us up and get us through these things. I think about our young people going through school and the things that as parents that we can't possibly understand or don't know that they're going through. The challenges, the possible bullying going on, that's a big deal now. The drugs, the constant pressure to drink, to smoke, to have sex. What our young people have to go through, sometimes unbeknownst to us as parents. The Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. So many times we pray to God, God, please get me my new bike for Christmas. But the Holy Spirit knows what we really need. And thank God the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when our prayers are either selfish or misguided or just misunderstood. But if you pray for a new bike, be thankful that at least you stop to pray for something and build that into a discipline of praying. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank God for that. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 goes on to say, moreover, and I have to slow down just a little bit. You know, when I read this over and over, I just got excited about reading this. And I think, man, this is something that just deserves, you know, I don't know, loud noise and clapping and confetti and whatever. But I get excited when I read this stuff. And it says, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, then He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is with us, who can be against us? And I thought about that, and I thought, that's hope in itself, just that one phrase. If God is with us, who can be against us? The rest of the world can be against us. It doesn't matter. We have God in the bottom of our barrel. We have God on our side. And so many times we just pass over that. And I think that's hope. That's hope right there. The promised Word of God. But it gets better than that. Again, believe it or not, it gets better than that. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, verse 35. Again, I think this is even better than if God is with us, who can be against us? It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I'm sure if we think about it, we could probably write a list of names. But what God's really saying here is, think about it. Nobody can separate you from the love of Christ. Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword separate you from the love of Christ? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And little by little, as we read through the verse, we find little glimpses of hope. As we get to the bottom of our barrel, through our nakedness, the bottom of that barrel is a God that loves us, more than we can imagine, is a God who will not allow Himself to be separated from us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, my friends, is hope. The hope that we have, the love of God, is hope. Jesus Christ is hope. But this last verse just said it, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today my question to you is, what are you hoping for? Are you hoping for a better job, a better vehicle, a better mate? Are you being faithful where you are? Pastor Jack's talked many times about, man, we want a better paying job and all this, and we thought, man, we can't handle the low paying job that we're in. God, I can't handle this low pay. I can't manage these few funds. Could you give me more? And the needs just get higher and higher according to the income that we have. The hope that we have is the love of God to bring us out of the places that we are, to bring us through things that we've been through, and remembering that in the middle of that, God may have been the one in the first place that drove us out there. God may have been the one taking us to our place of isolation, to our place, Kisha didn't give you the full story, but where we lose a spouse or lose a mate. He lost his mate. Not his spouse, but his mate. And basically, he had his hope in his girlfriend, fiance, whatever. And we want to hope the best with our mate and our spouse. But let's not put all our hope in our fiance, in our spouses, in our mates. And he went into a spiral where people couldn't even be around him. Man, you're too negative. You're too down. I don't even know what to do for you. I can't hire you. I can't even employ you anymore. Man, let me pack up and move back home with his parents. By the way, been there, done that. When my hope was misdirected, and I'm so thankful I found a new hope. Or maybe I just changed my lens and my filter and refocused on what my hope was. But in the bottom of his barrel, him, his guitar, his backyard, his parents' house, his bug zapper, he found hope. Hope to bring you out of where he may have sent you. Hope to respond to you when you respond to him. Hope to keep him near to you, maybe when you're not near to him. And hope to love you even when you don't love him. It's so simple, yet so complicated to find our hope in Jesus Christ. It's simple because He's right there just waiting. But it's complicated because we put ourselves in the way. What is the hope you're looking for today? Let us pray. God, we ask You to bring focus to us today, each and every one of us. God, to help us focus on the hope that is in You and the love of God. God, to bring us back to that hope that we once knew. Bring us to the hope that we've heard of. Bring us to the hope that conquers all. God, bring us to the hope that protects us from others. Your word says when the world is against us, You are with us. Your word says nothing can separate us from the love of God. God, as we begin our Advent season, will you just remind us each week of the hope we have in Jesus Christ? And the hope that came from the prophets as they foretold 2,000 years ago. And a little baby that you directed to be called Emmanuel, God with us. God, as we go out this week, can we not only find hope and renew our hope in you, but share that hope with others that may be lost, that may not be able to see that hope, that may have never heard that hope. God, will you remind us to share that hope with others? Through a word, through a blessing, through an article of clothing that we can give away, through money that we can help somebody with. Lord, remind us to encourage one another, both in words and in deeds. Penetrate our heart today, Lord. Call us to you. And God, will you just remind us that while you have promises in your word, you also have direction for us. May we be obedient to follow that direction. May we be obedient to read your word and study your word so that we understand it fully and understand our part in your kingdom. We thank you for the price. Jesus Christ paid on the cross for us, for every one of us. God, may we not turn our back on that. While Christians are praying and heads are bowed, today if you need renewed hope, or maybe you've never received Jesus Christ or heard about Jesus Christ and the hope He has for you and for your future, will you just lift your hand up so that we can pray for you and minister to you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, for those that lifted their hands today, we ask you to shine down on them, to wrap your loving arms around them, comfort them, give them renewed hope, give them new hope, and restore their hope, God, whatever may have taken that away or pulled them away from hope. Will you renew your hope in them? And as Christians, may we just continue to renew hope in people in this coming holiday season. God, we thank you for a wonderful Thanksgiving, all the things that we can be thankful for that you have allowed us to have. May you take us out of here safely and return us safely next week. May we be light and salt to those we come in contact with this week. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.